you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10 as we just, we're going to have just a little thought before we close here tonight. Hebrews chapter 10. And I've committed to finish the book of Hebrews sometime in 2012, so we've got to keep trotting along here a little bit. And as you get to Hebrews chapter 10, I'd like you to go to verse 19. We're going to be looking at verses 19 through 25. And since we've had some guests come tonight, before he leaves, I've had an intern now, Richard Molina, for about 7 months. He's from Southern California. He is a student at Fuller Seminary in Southern California. And I'd like Richard to come, if you would. And I'm going to ask Richard, if he would, to read our verses of emphasis tonight out of Hebrews chapter 10. And you can follow along in verses 19 through 25 as Richard reads those.
Starting with verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Just simply want you to see three thoughts tonight as we look at this passage in Hebrews. First of all, it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. For several chapters now, the writer of Hebrews has been flying. We've been on a flight, and he has been taking us through an argument that he's writing to the audience of Hebrews, primarily those who have a Hebrew origin, possibly priest, and now he's going to start landing the plane. And as he lands the plane, he's going to give us some points of application. And I'm so thankful for when the biblical authors do this, because it helps us understand what has been some pretty complex theology, but is all really emphasizing one point, and that is Christ is supreme. See, just like the Jews of today, they don't believe Jesus was the Messiah. And see, these people were converted Christians. They were following Christ, but since they had their Jewish background, they were actually on the threshold of turning away from that and going back into their comfort of being Jewish people. So the first thing that I'd like you to see is how the author basically says to walk the red carpet of what I like to call the red carpet of grace boldly into the Lord's presence. Listen to this. Brothers, since we have this confidence, that confidence that Christ is our priest, to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, that's the red carpet, by a new and living way opened up through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, he basically tells us four things here. Let us draw near to God. And then in verse 23, it says this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Then in verse 24, he says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, which is a preacher's favorite verse. Let us not give up meeting together. Come to church. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm not into guilting people to church, but I just simply want you to see these four things. This invitation to fellowship, if you would. And it's basically two different categories. It's an invitation to fellowship with God and an invitation to fellowship with others. Look at the first one. So as we approach God on this red carpet of grace, you see, we couldn't do it on our own. And you know what? I can be so committed. I just came off of 2 weeks of vacation, and You know, it's kind of easy to spend time with the Lord while you're on vacation. But I tell you what, it doesn't matter how disciplined you are in any sort of spiritual exercise of prayer and reading your word and everything else. You cannot be good enough to enter the Holy of Holies. You see, even the Old Testament priest, the highest priest, could only visit there once a year. You see, when you come in on the red carpet of grace, you come to dwell in his presence. If there was one thought that struck me over while I was on vacation, it was just this overwhelming sense that I take for granted the grace of God. And I read several books while I was on vacation, and one of them had to do, it was written by a guy named Joel Salazar or someone like that. Anyway, bizarre enough, he is a farmer from the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia, and he is probably one of the most popular farmers in America right now. If you've seen the movie Food, Inc., the documentary Food, Inc., he is the farmer that is highlighted on that, and I found this guy fascinating, so I read a book that he wrote, and there was one thing that occurred to me. He didn't say this in his book. The guy is a Christian, but after I finished this book about agriculture and the land and all this kind of stuff, it occurred to me that sometimes the reason why I believe we struggle as Christians is not because we have strong desires necessarily for the world. You've heard me say before, our desires are not evil. God has given us the ability to desire things. But the thought hit me that it's not that we have strong desires. It's that we have desires that are too easily satisfied. We're satisfied so easily by the things of the world. Now think about this in a food context for a moment. You can go any time of the year to a supermarket and buy a tomato that tastes like cardboard because it's out of season, right? And it's traveled 2 weeks just to get to that store. But if you go to the food market when tomatoes are in season on Saturdays, you know, or something, and you pick up a handful of heirloom tomatoes, and you tasted one, and then you tasted the other, well, one actually tastes like a real tomato, for Pete's sakes. And the other tastes like, insert your favorite word, I don't know, whatever. It tastes like cardboard. And this analogy occurred to me because so many times I think we settle for things of the world that taste like cardboard. And that's where our desires are met. And yet we have in us, by the Spirit of God, the ability to connect, the ability to approach the throne of grace on the red carpet of Christ's blood to the ultimate filler of every desire. You see, we all have desires and we all have voids and we all fill them with something. The question is, what are you filling your desires with? What are you filling? How are you filling them? See, God says, draw near to me. And he also says, let us hold firm, unswervingly, to the hope we profess. Notice he didn't say to the faith or to the salvation. He said, to the hope. You see, this is about something that is coming. This isn't just about something that is here. But then that's the connecting to God. But then look what also he says. There's another category. Because fellowship with God is never selfish. He says this, verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We see that great triad of Christian virtues here in these verses. Faith, hope, and love, right here in these verses. And notice love, thank you to DC Talk, is a verb. Love is a verb, you know. Love is an action. It spurs one another on to love and toward good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And just one more kind of illustration as we get ready to close, and apologize for running late tonight. I was able to spend some time around a fire over my vacation, and as I was thinking about this verse tonight. You know, look, I'm not about guilting people into church attendance. But I tell you, those who do not attend church are kind of like a log on a fire. If you've ever built a fire before and you've seen it as it's just smoldering, and you kick one of the logs off to the side, where it doesn't have the radiant heat of the other logs to keep it on fire, that log that has been kicked off to the side will eventually die. It will die out without the radiant heat of the other ones. And I'm not here to judge anybody's life because of their attendance, and don't think I'm taking, so I think I've qualified that enough. It's not about guilt tripping anyone. But I will say this, the average American, and I say this just for the point is the comparison. The average American watches 7.5 to 8 hours of television a day. And I just find it challenging that we sometimes complain that church takes 3 hours a week of our time. The point is the comparison. The point is not guilt. Just think about it for a moment. We all have voids. We all have desires. The question is, are you kind of like that log that has been kicked out? This is probably the wrong audience to preach this to. You're here on a Wednesday night, but the verse is there, so we're going there. But are you like that log that has been separated? And see, people who have separated themselves from the body of Christ do not have the radiant heat of the body of Christ, that because we're supposed to leave when gatherings like we have of believers encouraged. We're supposed to leave them spurred on to do great things. That picture there is like a cow prod when a cow gets prodded. Look, sometimes we need a little prodding. When was the last time one of your friends has prodded you? And if you say, well, I haven't been prodded in a while by any of my friends, just call your attention to the Proverbs that wounds from a friend can be trusted. Sometimes our wounds should come from real friends in our lives. So I leave those challenges to you tonight and just close with this final question. If we really embraced this confidence of walking the red carpet of grace, if we really embraced what it means to embrace the Lord, drawing near to the Lord and encouraging one another and not giving up, not being that isolated log that can die out, we've got to pull people back in. We can't separate ourselves. If we really started doing this, think about this for a moment. How would the lives of our church and our community change if people came in to church and instead of saying, because I've heard it before, I don't want to go there because there are just a bunch of hypocrites there. I understand that. I've met some hypocrites in church. But I want to say this. There's a difference between a person who's a hypocrite and someone who is struggling. I have actually met more people who struggle in the church than I've actually met true hypocrites. A hypocrite is someone who says something that doesn't actually believe it. Most people in church that I've met believe it. They just struggle with it. And there's a difference. But we don't want to push people out. And we want people, when they come and they experience the gathering, to be encouraged, to be prodded, and to be spurred on toward love and good deeds. Love is a verb. I just close with that final thought, though, that we all have voids and we all have desires. The question is, where are those voids and desires being met in your life? Through something else or through the throne of grace that is paved by a red carpet? And that is the blood of Jesus. That is Him and Him alone. He is the only one that can completely fill those voids. Would you pray with me tonight? Lord, thank You for this wonderful challenge in the Scriptures. And I pray, Lord, as we open up our hearts, Father, we all are frail and broken. We need each other, but most of all, we need Christ, our priest. The one whose flesh was torn so that we have total access. That high priest could only come into the presence of the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies once a year. And Father, may we not hold You in contempt. May we not take You for granted that we have the ability to step in. And maybe we just need to say right now, thank You for letting us be and dwell in that presence even as we speak. You've written those tablets on our hearts, and you've changed our minds. May we be renewed in the Spirit tonight. We thank you for it. We respond to your love and your grace by that wonderful invitation we just read about. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.